Dolph, for you, if when you become WWE champion, you will be, and I'll make sure I get this stat right, the longest waiting modern competitor in the WWE from the time you debuted to the time you were to become WWE champion, 2006 to now. Why? Why the delay?
You're asking the wrong guy. I've assumed my goals were to be champion 2 years ago, in my career goals. And obviously, hopefully, things happen for a reason. But one way or another, it's not that I haven't delivered at any point. I've constantly outdone myself when it comes down to stealing the show or putting on great matches or just having great feuds with other superstars. And the intrigue is there. The build is a long time coming, and people have been fans of mine and will be quite relieved one day when it actually happens. And the hard work is in place, and now it's just about timing.
Is it the fact that you are such a great worker? You are, when it comes to taking bumps, take probably the most spectacular of anyone on the roster. Last year, you lost 60% of your matches. Fought 90 times, lost 57 of them. Is it because you look so good losing that you make other guys look good that he's holding you back?
It is a little bit of a curse that I'm so good at my job. I don't know anyone else's job where you're so good, we're not going to promote you. You know what I mean? So it is a little disheartening to have that happen, but it's also, in this day and age, I don't know anyone else who can do what I can do and still have the believability and the credibility of becoming champion with losing 60% of the time or more. I bet it's way more. Having that unique quality, I serve a purpose for the WWE, but it is not my only purpose. One way or another, scratching and clawing for years, every time it's down and up, it's one inch higher. So now it's so close to becoming my time. And to say that I haven't earned it would just be ridiculous.
Oh, hugely. Is it frustrating? I mean, even when you have a match with someone like John Cena, which is a huge match with so many near falls, so many seemingly match-ending moments that he'll kick out of, and then one finisher, bam, game over, other way around. Does that frustrate you that, again, everything that you do that you make look so good doesn't get returned for you?
Absolutely it does. And knowing the fact that I am the guy who is in the situation to be in there with a John Cena, to where you're not just, oh, here comes John Cena, we're going to see his usual thing. You see something totally different with him. You see something totally different, a great match with him. And it's, you know, not just because of me. It's, we have this cool chemistry where we kind of hate each other, but we both want to put on a great show. And it does make me so angry that I can hit him with everything I can think of and he still gets kicked out. But it's because he has earned his spot at the top, 10 years strong, and he is the franchise of the WWE. And the fact that I'm this close to beating him gives me a little bit of confidence saying, okay, one of these times I'm going to be the one that beats him, and then it's going to be my time. So the longer that goes on, the more the intrigue is there to see when's the time that I'm actually going to win the big match.
Does the era of seemingly long title reign at the moment, I mean, yeah, Sam, what, 400 plus days?
Yeah.
Sheamus has had it for rah, rah, rah. Does it make it harder to get that break?
Absolutely. It's in this day and age, for a while, it seemed like titles were changing hands all the time, and now it is back to a more traditional of, this is our superstar, this is our guy, he's the champ, and we're going to prove it. And those guys hung on to titles for a really long time, especially Punk, 400-something days. But in that day and age, it does mean more when you actually do dethrone a champion. So it's hundreds of days later, and it becomes your time, and then the target's on your back. And wow, if you lose it in a couple of weeks, how embarrassing would that be? So it's a blessing and a curse to not have gotten it to this point. But it's also, I've never been in a better place in my career and more prepared than right now. Also,
talk to me about your character, the '90s Undertaker, Kane, Vader style, sort of larger than life characters, and now making way for almost reality kind of names, characters. Why Dolph Ziggler? What is it? What's your message? What are you trying to sell? Where did it come from?
First, I wanted to do something that would stand out and grab attention right away. And being in this day and age where it isn't giant monsters being created, it is a realistic athlete. And so I wanted to be someone who could be in there with a Big Show, an Undertaker, a Hornswoggle, Kali, anybody, and be able to adapt and put on a great show. And in this day and age where it is the bad guys aren't just a big beer belly guy who stands around and punches someone in the face. Like, you got to be great at this. And we have a whole roster of superstars who are amazing at what they do, and they are just clawing and fighting for 30 seconds of TV time. So when you get a chance, someone like me who's getting more and more time, it's you want to be the best that you can be to represent those guys. And in this day and age, it is a renaissance man kind of superstar where it's you can talk, you can move, you can jump, you can be athletic, and you can be powerful, and you have to be all that wrapped into one.
Work aside, I mean, you watch a show now and you look at the fan reactions, say compared to a Raw in the 90s, where, you know, they're seemingly more willing to chant, signs, etc. Is it the characters across the board, do you believe, is strong enough for what the WWE is trying to achieve? Or is there still room for bigger names, bigger characters, bigger cut through with fans?
There's always room for improvement, and that's what the WWE has done for years. It cycles in different talent, different types of talent, different characters, but it's in the 90s we had, you know, a bunch of drunk college kids cheering and being rowdy. Now we are catering towards families, kids, having fun, and it's actually expanding the message of the WWE, and that's what's smart business, that's what's a good move. Families and kids want to enjoy these shows, so we have a slightly different market that we're catering to, but it's also we're teaching them that this is the way. It's fun for the family. It's PG entertainment. You can bring anybody, and that's just smart for WWE to adapt to. So as we can keep bringing in more and more fans, and we just continue to expand globally.
Does it annoy you that this generation continues to get compared to both mainstream cut through and also ratings to the 90s?
It's annoying because no matter what happens in 10 years, they'll be like, oh, I wish we had the PG era back, that we're going to call it, because it was so great then. Everything sucks now. That's what just people do. And I was a fan during that time. I was a fan during the 80s when it was fun characters. I was a fan during the 90s when it was an attitude era. And I'm a fan now. I actually appreciate it from someone who has seen all those. And in a kind of day and age where you can be lost in your iPhone or have 1,000 channels to choose from, that we can still keep an audience entertained. I appreciate that we don't have naked girls running around and we're not swearing on TV, and it's that much harder to not work blue and actually get the crowd. And that's I like that as a challenge to myself. They go, we put on a quality show and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Is it dangerous with regards, you watch a lot of the promos now, they're very, they seem to flirt the line between reality and scripted. Is it shoot? Is it not? Where does that finish? How does that not get into dangerous territory for backstage politics?
You never know. And that's the beauty of the WWE, is we do toe that line of we're suspending reality. It's when you go watch a movie, you get enthralled and you believe what's going on. And we want to put on a great show, want to be entertaining. But we also want you to believe, like, oh, that was, I mean, where are they going with this? And that's just out of the box thinking that used to, in the 90s, was getting more and more viewers, and that's what got it hot to begin with. So now that we're constantly kind of flirting that line, it's great for the fans, young and old, to go, oh, okay, I think I know what they're talking about. Because with something like the internet, it's constantly having some type of info. I just found out yesterday who my opponent is for WrestleMania via the internet. So that's how reliable it is, and it's you have that out there, and there's so many opinions and different things, and it's to be able to still get through to people and have a good show. It's at the end of the day, that's a pat on the back, I think.
3-hour Raws, is it too long?
No. Here's why: we have so many superstars who aren't even on TV every week or at all, and there's so many great guys that we have that are fighting for 30 seconds on TV or to be in a backstage shot for a couple of seconds. And I think with 3 hours, it's going to be that much better to start establishing new superstars and with slowly but surely getting a couple extra segments here and there so we can bring in some guys and start introducing them to the public. I think in the long run, that's a much better idea for WWE, so you can start having kids relate to different characters.
Are you finding it harder to keep the live audience engaged for the 3 hours?
I don't think so. If you're good at what you do, they're going to enjoy it no matter what. And whether I'm in the first segment or the last segment or the middle, wherever I am in the show, I really want the spotlight. I want to steal the show. I want to be the main event, whatever match I'm in. And you make it a point to do that, but I mean, it depends. It is a longer show for the crowd. I'm not going to pretend it's not an extra hour of wrestling. That's a lot. But if you make it entertaining, you make it good, it's going to blow by and they're not even going to realize it.
Okay. A couple of other questions. The look of the WWE Championship, the actual physical belt. Most people, I certainly think it looks ridiculous and not worthy of. You?
I mean, I don't think it looks ridiculous, but it's in this day and age, it's, you know, it's not... I mean, you have to get with the times. Little kids are buying those replicas of the belt. That thing, that title weighs, I don't know, 35 pounds or something. I've lifted it up and I went, holy cow, it's a giant watch or something. And it's at the end of the day, it's what it stands for. If you're a fan, like I, since I was 5 years old, you know the theory of what that title stands for. So I don't care what it looks like, but I understand, like, it's for the fans. You know, they want replicas. They want to be a part of this. They want to have their kids want to have their replica belts. And when you have a world championship or a WWE championship, and I don't think it's what it is on the outside. It's what it stands for.
Having two main championship belts, does it dilute the impact given that the brand's now kind of molded back together, having a world and a WWE?
I don't think it dilutes it at all. We have maybe in a different time when there was 20 superstars that made sense to have one championship. Now we have 70 and 100 in developmental and people waiting backstage. We have too much talent and so many television shows with WWE almost every day of the week that I think we need to have two different separate like world and WWE championships. Also, it gives something else to shoot for other superstars. It's not like, oh, Punk's in the middle of day 400 and I'm at the bottom of the ladder here. How am I ever going to get this? You always have an option to go. You can have two different champions. I think that's just fine in this day and age.
Does it hurt the Royal Rumble and the concept of the Royal Rumble?
I think it helps because you don't just go, oh, the winner, he's facing this guy. It's, oh, cool, that guy won. I think that would be a really cool matchup with Punk or Rock or Del Rio. You'd never know. That's a cool other aspect of the Rumble is waiting to see who they choose. I think that's a cool storyline part.
Having someone like The Rock keep coming back in for big moments, WrestleManias, etc., having that kind of superstar, does it hurt the development of someone like yourself, or does it help?
You can see it both ways and not be wrong. I used to, a year or two ago, be like, oh, The Rock's back for a month to take all the good spots, right? No. He's back to bring more eyes to the WWE that maybe wouldn't have been on them. And they go, wow, I really enjoyed Rock in that movie. Let's see what he's doing at WrestleMania. And that's the whole thing, is to get a new audience to cross over and enjoy our show. And in the long run, him being in that spot and coming back and giving back to the WWE will bring, hopefully, lots of eyes that wouldn't normally see it. And they go, man, I'm going to go watch WrestleMania for The Rock. Like, oh, Dolph Ziggler stole the show. I'm going to go watch next Monday when The Rock's not around.
Do you watch his movies?
Sometimes. I haven't seen a lot of movies in a while, but I was just explaining to someone, he's not even he's a bona fide main event movie star now. And we used to be like, oh, he's in a couple of movies, he's coming back. He's a huge star, and that's great for the WWE, and it's a pat on his back, just another feather in his cap for him.
When you are champion, or, you know, do hold a belt, do you actually get, and this is just out of probably more personal curiosity, treated differently, different class flight? Is there anything different backstage?
I've always heard, it depends, because someone like me who is kind of done well for myself without a championship, I don't think it would change any demeanor backstage to me. But maybe someone else who maybe been in the business a year or something and became champion, that would be a different situation. But I've heard that champions fly first class everywhere. So that's one cool perk of, you carry around that championship, you're representing WWE, you're an ambassador, and you're flying first class, and you're looking the part that you actually are.